The three silent assassins gathered at the side of the building. Rod looked up the street to the hotel. He could see that all the horses were still tied where they had been an hour earlier. He suspected the gang members who had been out all night stealing horses were resting by day, leaving only the few they had already dispatched, plus several more inside, to guard the stolen horses. They moved stealthily around to the back side of the Jersey Lily, where they discovered the wooden addition that made up the back room. Holiday went to the room's side window and stood on his tiptoes, leaning his chin over the bottom of the window frame until he could see inside.
Well, what did you see? Anyone in there?
Feathers in there, tied up, and the judge is sprawled out on a bed.
Anyone else?
That was it, just the two of them.
Well, come on then. Let's go see if there's a way the three of us can get inside.
Inside the front room, Zeke Cassidy was pouring Kelly and Henry Ellis some fresh cider from behind the bar. Charlie was already sipping on a half a glass of rot-gut whiskey that Cassidy had poured for him moments earlier.
Thank you, sir.
It's Zeke, ma'am. You can call me Zeke.
And I thank you, too. Oh, boy, was I thirsty.
If any of you would care to refresh your drinks, just let me know.
His eyes continued to stay focused on Kelly.
If you folks would care to spend the night with us, I can also offer you some fine horse meat steaks.
Afraid not. We still got some daylight left, and we ought to continue our search.
I told you earlier that I'd have my men do the searching for you. Here, let me pour you another glass of cider.
He moved over to take Kelly's glass so he could pour her a refill, but his hand brushed against hers and remained there for another moment. Henry Ellis noticed the contact immediately. Kelly threw a glance to Charlie, then pulled her hand away gently.
I'll have some more cider too, mister.
Anything your heart desires, son. So won't you change your mind and join us for supper?
Sorry, but we gotta be getting on down the road.
Jefe, El Viejo carries a revolver in his boot, the same kind of pistola the other one had.
Charlie threw a roundhouse right and clipped Cassidy a good one on the jaw. The leather-clad leader dropped to one knee, but no more. He got to his feet while he held out a hand to keep his men back.
Another ranger, are you?
No, sir. It's X-Ranger. And where is my partner?
I'm right here, boss.
Feather stood in the doorway of the back room, holding one of Holiday's Colts. One of the rustlers made a move for his gun, and Feather shot him point blank. The outlaw dropped to the floor, dead. Zeke was on his feet, facing Charlie.
I'm sorry that you're such an old man, mister, because I really don't like hurting old folks.
Charlie brought up his left boot, connecting with the leader's crotch. Zeke's eyes crossed. Rod, Roscoe, and Holiday entered behind Feather. Rod joined Henry Ellis and Kelly at the bar.
Are you two all right?
I'm just glad I'm not Charlie.
She nodded toward the fight in progress in the center of the room. Cassidy got to his feet again. He faced off with Charlie one more time. The difference in the two men's size was very apparent when they stood side by side.
It really ain't a very fair match.
Cassidy took Charlie by the arm and his opposite leg, then lifted him over his head. Charlie's eyes bugged out when he realized he was being held above the giant's head.
Do something!
Do what?
Cassidy began to turn around again and again, with Charlie over his head.
What do you want us to do?
Shoot the son of a bitch!
Say no more.